Here. I was reflecting this morning on the heat, and I remembered our meeting house over on 4th Avenue, and that took a warm welcome to a new level over there. It was hard to keep the air moving, surrounded by asphalt, and it was just a trip down memory lane that I went this morning. A warm welcome to each one. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 for a message this morning. We turn to this passage often, and many of us can probably even quote the first two verses by memory. I don't plan to look at those this morning. I'm going to start reading in verse 9 and read through verse 13. Something to keep in mind, that verse 10 through 13 is all one sentence. So we'll try to read it like that. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." And that word dissimulation just means hypocrisy. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." We'll stop reading there. But these are instructive verses that call our hearts and our minds beyond the natural. So in verse 9, we have the call to let our love be without hypocrisy, and to abhor or to hate that which is evil, and to cleave to that which is good. Is there anyone here that comes natural for? Just naturally are drawn toward the good? Well, no, we're in this flesh, right? We have to abhor that which is evil. How about the next line? There in verse 10, to in honor preferring one another. Is that natural? How about in the next verse? We're just pulling some of these out here. Fervent in spirit. Are we always on fire? Are we always excited about serving the Lord? Or is it something that we need to come and be refreshed? How about the next verse? Verse 12. It says, patient in tribulation. Does that come natural for you? We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class. Patient in tribulation. Well, that's not natural for me. How about verse 13? Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Does that come natural for anyone here this morning? I'd like to take a message from the last verse there. Given to hospitality, the subject I'd like to look at this morning. Are you, am I, given to hospitality? Are we as a church given to hospitality? Now, before we shift our focus over here to the ladies' side and think that this sermon is pointed towards this side of the house, I want to expand this subject to all of us here this morning. If you're above 3 years old and you can understand the English language, we're going to find out this morning, I believe, through Scripture, that hospitality is something that all of us can extend. And we don't age out either. It's an opportunity for all of us. Before we go too far into this subject, I do want to bless our congregation here for the hospitality that I have experienced from you and that I have seen you sharing with other people. I don't share this sermon simply because I think that we need to grow in this area, but because I think it's something that we need to continue to teach and to practice if we want to keep it alive in our brotherhood. So my heart this morning is that we encourage each other and we challenge each other in this subject. So here in the opening, I'd like to look at these two words here in the title, given to hospitality. If we have a marker here. look at this word first. Given. I should also add the clock in the back is broken, so you'll have to stand up when it's time for me to finish. But given means to pursue. It means to persecute. That's how it's often translated. To ensue. Or to follow after. And press forward. That's what the word given means. Think about how this word is translated in Matthew 5. Blessed are ye when men persecute you. How about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. That's that same word there. 1 Peter 3, verse 11, let him eschew evil, do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. So I think we can take from Paul's choice of words here that we're not always going to feel like being hospitable or showing hospitality. It might be something that we have to, well, press forward in. My wife ran across a quote the other day that said, hospitality is making someone feel at home when you wish that they were. So pressing forward in hospitality. Now the word hospitality means to entertain strangers. I'll just write that out. To entertain a stranger. There's actually two words that are translated into the English word hospitality, but the first one, as it's used here in Romans 12, verse 13, is to entertain a stranger. This exact word is used only one other time in the New Testament, and that is in Hebrews 13, verse 2. And we know this verse well. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. We're familiar with that verse. So the word hospitality used here in Romans 12, verse 13, means to entertain a stranger. And then there's another word, it's very similar, that's also translated into the English word hospitality. It's found three times in the New Testament, and it means fond of guest. That's not how it's used in Romans 12, verse 13, but that's how it's translated in three other places, and I'll just read those to you. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, where it's giving the qualities of a bishop. It says, a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And then also in Titus 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. So that's how that word hospitality is used. The third time is in 1 Peter, and I wanted you to turn there, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to read verse 7 through verse 10 from 1 Peter chapter 4. So Peter is giving admonition here on how we should be living in the last times. He says here in verse 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Sorry, let me just read that again. Verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Just remember that word hospitality means fond of guest. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Verse 10, as every man that hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So verse 10 here is teaching that how we're supposed to use the gifts that God has given us. And I think that's where we get the idea that hospitality is a gift, as in a spiritual gift. And I looked through the scripture and I could not find where it says that hospitality is a spiritual gift. It's a trait, definitely. But I'm not sure if it's a gift that is given to some people and not given to other people. Like, some people have the gift of being able to teach Sunday school. Some others have the gift of preaching. Some other people have the gift of being able to, and you could go down through the different gifts that we have, but I'm not sure it's biblical to put hospitality into that category. We can talk about that after the service if I'm missing something, I'd be open to that. But this morning I'd like for us to think more of hospitality being like a muscle. If you don't use it, the weaker it becomes, right? But the more you exercise it, the more you have strength in that area. Not too long ago, we had a toddler in our house, and at first, you stand them up against something, and their legs are weak, and they sort of wobble, and they fall flat on the floor. But as you continue to stand them back up again, they get strength in their legs, and they can stand on their own. And pretty soon they're taking that first step. Yeah, they fall, but they get back up. And not too much longer after that, you have a toddler that's running all over the house. I'd like to think about hospitality a little bit that way. Maybe I'm just oversimplifying it, but we don't think about walking anymore. We learned how to walk, and we just do it naturally. It's a way of life for us. And we jump out of bed in the morning, we just take off. But it wasn't always that way. We had to start somewhere and become stronger in that. I've read a number of different scriptures on hospitality already this morning. I think we can see how the scripture calls us to be hospitable. But what are some definitions of hospitality in our culture? And I think our culture is an important factor to consider in this subject because it's different in some other cultures. What does it mean to use hospitality? As it says here in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Does it mean that we invite someone over when it's our turn on the host schedule? And the rest of the year, we're off the hook? Does it mean that we invite family over at the holidays and we host and that's our event of the year? Often we think of hospitality as having someone to our house for a meal, and it definitely includes that, but I think it extends far beyond just having someone over for a meal. You notice the scriptures that we've looked at so far surrounding hospitality, food has not come up in the scriptures. We'll get to that in just a little bit later. Hospitality is something that we can exercise. I hope we've exercised it already here this morning. And it's something that we can exercise before we leave this building. Hospitality is about how we make people feel. We can be on the hostess schedule and we can prepare seven sweets and seven sours, if that's the term you want to use, and have the perfect presentation of a meal and not have an ounce of hospitality. That's a possibility. I would like for us to just take a few minutes and list some things that you feel are important when you host. When you're going to have someone over to your house, what are some things that you feel are important when you host? Just shout them out.
Giving.
Giving?
You can feel relaxed.
feel relaxed.
Conversation.
Warm welcome.
Friendly.
All right, that'll be good for now. So we have a list here of things that we feel are important when we host. I didn't hear from the ladies, but possibly good food comes to mind. Maybe it's a clean house. We feel that's important, and it is, and we will talk about that in a little bit. But if we created another list here this morning on things that you remember from the last time you were hosted, what would it be? Maybe you weren't hosted in a while. Do you remember if the house was clean or not? Do you remember what food you ate?
Simplicity.
All right, that's what Marcus remembers. Anything else? Willie?
The conversation.
Okay, the conversation. So, what we also felt is important. What I'm trying to get us to think about is some of the things that we focus on might not even be the most important thing that we can share with our guest. Hospitality is received through our heart and not necessarily through our mouth or our eyes. And I want to give you a little story. Earlier this summer, I was working near a friend's house, and I don't get to see them very often, but I knew about when I would be done with the job. I texted them and said, "Hey, is it okay if I stop by for a cup of coffee?" Absolutely. So I stopped in. It was the middle of the day, and it was a busy place. Things were happening. Children were around. There was baking going on. I think there might have even been some laundry going on. But the man served me a cup of coffee. There was some warm bread that came out of the oven, not because I was there, but because it just happened that way. It was in the flow of the day. And we had a great time just catching up, having a good conversation, and we caught up on life. And I was sent out the door with iced coffee for the road. It was 20 minutes out of one day, but I left there feeling inspired and blessed and challenged at that couple's hospitality and openness. They were genuinely glad that I had stopped in, and I was glad that I had. What I experienced from that family was that they were given to hospitality. They opened their home. And one of the challenges that we face in our Western culture is that hospitality is an industry in our culture. We don't have strangers traveling past that need their horse watered or a place to stay for the night. They'll just stop in a motel. We don't have those type of needs. We have hotels and other conveniences that are for sale, and this has almost entirely negated our need to host strangers. And our Western culture has made us independent instead of dependent. We don't necessarily need each other to get through life. But I think the scripture teaches this hospitality in two spheres. And you notice that in the two different definitions for hospitality. The first one is to entertain a stranger. The second one is fond of guests, and that's used in the context of 1 Peter 4, where it says, use hospitality one to another. So that, I believe, includes the brotherhood, the ones that we go to church with, the ones that we interact with on a daily basis. So I'd like to think about the one to another hospitality here for just a minute. It's the interaction with each other as the body of Christ. Peter says we should use hospitality. That's an action. It takes some intentionality. It takes some interaction. And we have to make it happen if we want it to be a part of our lives. So when I'm going out to Martinsburg, there's two places I can get coffee in the gap. I can stop at Sheetz. It's quick. I get a cup and I can keep on going. Or I can stop in and see Brother Moses and get a cup of coffee and have a conversation, and then I can keep on going. But it takes some intentionality to make that happen, doesn't it? A week or two ago, I've had a few brothers stop by my office for a cup of coffee. Another brother brought his lunchbox and just sat down in our break room. We ate our lunch together. We had a good time doing that. But it takes intentionality to make that happen. Hospitality. Are we given to a hospitality? Are we sharing hospitality one to another? It's just a small way that we can do it. I think one of the reasons we shy away from showing hospitality or using hospitality is it can make us feel a little bit vulnerable. If I let you see into my life and my home, even when I don't have everything put in order, then you see who I actually am. You see that my garage is a mess. You see that we didn't get the floor swept after supper. We hurried off and did something else. But a byproduct of vulnerability is trust. When we're open with our imperfections, then we build trust. I don't worry about what my garage looks like if you stop over. When Ernest stops by to see me, I'm not worried about the way my garage looks like, because I've been in Ernest's garage before. I know what his looks like, and I feel okay with allowing Ernest to see into my garage. Use hospitality one to another. Open ourselves up. The second one is given to hospitality, and this is, I looked at these sort of in reverse, but this is the hospitality to strangers. And like I mentioned earlier, this can be a little tough in our Western culture. We tend to isolate ourselves from each other. We have our world and they have theirs. And I think culture's a big part of this. This became glaring to me when traveling to Bangladesh. There would be events that we would get invited to where there was hundreds of people, just literally shoulder to shoulder. And as Americans, that makes us uncomfortable. We like to have our space. We like to have our elbow room. But when talking about that event with your friend the next day, he just talked about how great of a time it was to be there with all those people and noise. And it's sort of a clash of culture. But I also learned something else from the Eastern culture in the relation to hospitality. It's very humbling to sit down and eat a meal that someone has borrowed money to feed you. Very humbling to do that. But that's Eastern culture. They want to make you feel honored and feel welcome. Just because it's normal in our culture to isolate doesn't mean that it's good. Many people are lonely and starving for friendship and interaction. The word given there means it's going to come at a cost. I'm going to have to give up something if I want to give hospitality, if I want to extend hospitality or be given to hospitality. And this can happen in many different ways. One area that I thought of is, I mentioned before, there's a new house going up next to ours. Do I order the fast-growing shrubs and get them planted right away so that we got privacy between us and the new neighbors? Or should I call the fence company and ask them to put up a 6-foot privacy fence? Or do I give myself to hospitality and say, well, God is bringing that neighbor right next to me, and I'm looking forward to meeting him, and he might become one of our best friends. I don't know. Should I buy the lot across the road? It's for sale. Should I buy it just so that no one else can put a house there? I'd like to see those trees over there. Should I buy it just because I can to build that buffer around myself? Those are just practical areas that I'm thinking of, and you can fill in the blank with ways that you draw back from being hospitable. These are just questions to think about. As I thought about hospitality, hospitality is a communication. What time is it? I don't have any watch piece. Quarter after? All right. Hospitality is a communication. And I have five things that hospitality communicates. And the first one is, hospitality communicates the heart of God. So if we look at our God, he's a God of hospitality. Think about the garden home that he created for Adam and Eve. It was a beautiful place, had everything that they needed there. It was a perfect place. Every need was supplied. And we know how that didn't last very long. Man thought he needed something outside of that. But God is a God of hospitality. He's created this beautiful world for us to live in. And he enjoys the beauty that he created and the place he created for us to live. And we see it in the heart of God throughout Scripture. But God is keenly interested in people who are on the outside. Leviticus 19, verse 34 says, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And there's Scripture, all through Scripture, there's glimpses that we see of God caring about the people who are less fortunate, the people who are poor, the people who are on the outside of any social group. God cares about that, and he wants his people to invest into those people who are on the outside. Hospitality communicates God's heart. James 1 verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." I think it's interesting how it's kind of a surprise that you would find that a verse like that. We think about pure religion, we think about holiness, and that's important, definitely. But it says here, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hospitality communicates the heart of God. Turn to John chapter 14. I had the privilege of reading these verses to Brother Phil a few weeks ago. We know them almost by heart. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Ye believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." John 14 verse 2. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus is preparing a place for us. He's preparing that eternal home that he is welcoming us into. Hospitality communicates the heart of God. Also, while we're here in the Gospels, let's just turn back to Matthew chapter 14. There's a snapshot of Jesus. Here in his, while he was on earth, and it shows his heart for hospitality. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. This is after John the Baptist had been beheaded and they had buried his body. It says, "When Jesus heard of it," he had heard the death of John, verse 13, "he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." And he said, "Bring them thither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and they took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So we see the hospitality of Christ here, and he was meeting the needs of the people that were there. Jesus had departed because of the strain and stress of losing his cousin. He wanted to get away for a bit, but yet when the crowds followed him, he had compassion on them and fed them, performed a miracle to feed them even. Hospitality communicates the heart of God. Second point I have is hospitality communicates the gospel message. So as Christians, we have the responsibility, the command, to take the gospel to the world. And there's many tools that we have to do this. But I think hospitality is often an overlooked, but such a simple and effective one. We can invite people into our homes. We can invite people into our lives. And maybe we're not even comfortable with that. But in our culture, we have public places. We have parks. We can invite people to a park and meet them there. And we can build that relationship. We can build that connection and show them the gospel message. It's such a simple tool, but it's an effective one. I just brought one of the tools out of my truck this morning. I thought it illustrated this point. This is such a simple, simple tool. But it's a track straightening tool. Somebody just took a piece of square steel and welded a round rod to it. But when this is put into a piece of garage door track, you can straighten that track out and make it look almost like brand new. It's such a simple thing. It's just a piece of steel. But it's so effective and so useful. And I think hospitality is a little bit the same way. We all have a table at our house. We all have a place outside. We all can go to a park. We can all show hospitality in whatever way, we're able to. And through that, we have that, open that door to be able to speak to people. I saw a quote the other day that asked this question. It says, why invite people to church that you haven't invited to your home? Well, that made me stop and think. Well, yeah, it does make sense. Church is more of a neutral public place, but we can open that door to share the gospel by inviting people into our homes, inviting people into our lives, and living out the gospel and showing them the God that we serve. Number three, hospitality communicates our heart. So our hospitality communicates what's in our heart. And I thought about the Shunammite woman. She was there. She had a house apparently along a road that Elisha traveled. And she invited him in. And she told her husband one day that, I perceive that this man is a man of God. We should do something for him. We should build a house, build a little room for him. And she had all the details as well. The candlestick, the table, the bed. She had a heart for hospitality. She wanted to show to this man of God that he was welcome there and that she made provision for him. But it shows our heart. You also see that in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus said there in the judgment, he says, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And they said, Lord, when did we do these things? And Jesus said, well, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it to me. When hospitality is a response from our heart, we don't even think about doing it. It's just a reaction. The question that we can ask ourselves, is our heart to bless or is our heart to impress with our hospitality? Our hospitality will communicate that for us. If we can open our doors when everything is perfect, when everything is in order, we have everything prepared just right, then I think our hospitality communicates that we are hosting to impress and not to bless. It's respectful to prepare for guests to come to our home, but it cannot be an obsession. It cannot be something that we say, well, I can't host until this and this is in order. Our hospitality should be about blessing, not impressing. Number four, hospitality communicates that each person has value. Each person has value. We like to be invited, don't we? Maybe it's a wedding, or maybe it's a friend's birthday party, and we extend an invitation, or we show hospitality to a person. It communicates that that person is recognized and has value to us. And we can do this to anyone. It doesn't need to be an adult. It doesn't need to be a friend. We can do this to anyone. There's a verse from Mark 9, verse 36. It says, "And he took a child," talking about Jesus, "and set him in the midst of them. And when he had him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." So think about that next time you're relating to a child or a small person. Our hospitality communicates that each person is valued in God's eyes. When we extend hospitality even to a child, it gives them value, and they are important to you, and you see them. And I think we're also communicating to them that when we see them, when we interact with people, that God also sees them and wants to interact with them when we show them value. Matthew 10, verse 42, a very similar verse, it says, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Such a simple act that we can do, but it's recognized by God, and it shows value of a person. As I reflect on my home and the home that my wife grew up in, I feel like my wife and I have lots of room to grow in this area. But my wife's parents always had an open door. Someone that my father-in-law met on a truck run or at a truck stop or something, invite them around their table. My wife has many stories of people that came from wherever around their table. And also my mother, she came from a home that was missing a father, and her mother did not have a driver's license, so people would come and reach out to them, pick them up for church, bring them to church, take them to their house for lunch, take them home in the afternoon. And it was a big sacrifice. They were given to hospitality. And that impacted my mom as in her home. And my mom always made Sunday lunch for whoever didn't have a place to go. And there was often, I think I can pretty safely say every Sunday there was someone at our table to enjoy lunch with us. It was just my mom's way of giving back. The house was not Pinterest worthy. It was not large. There probably wasn't even dessert, but there was a solid meal, and she was a blessing in that way. Hospitality communicates that each person has a value. Each person has a place. Hospitality communicates belonging. And I'd like to just turn to Ephesians chapter 2 for a few verses yet. Here in closing, Ephesians 2. Hospitality communicates belonging. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Then at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And let's just skip down to verse 19. "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." I don't know how that makes you feel when we read over the scriptures, but that gives me a place of belonging and a place of security. And when we can express hospitality, it gives people that place of sense of belonging, a place to call home, a place to feel secure in our homes. As we extend this grace that has been poured into our lives, where we are welcomed in, we are grafted in, and we are to share that hospitality with those that we meet. Hospitality is not just that you're welcome here, but that you belong here and that everyone has a place at the table. In conclusion, I just want to read a verse from Romans 15, verse 7. Yet it says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." What a responsibility we have to show hospitality to those around us in our brotherhood, but also to the world around us that is looking for answers, that's looking for a place of belonging and a place of security. I hope that looking at hospitality has stirred your thinking. I know it has mine, and I want to encourage all of us to be given to hospitality and be a blessing to those that we meet. Let's pray.